Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Rahn, on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter, and we're here with the Tommy Cutlets Madness episode. That's right. We have reached peak Tommy DeVito. And look, it's a good story. It's fun. Everything that comes with it, the fact that he's undrafted, Italian, local kid, everything about it is fun, right? I went to the tailgate prior to the Monday night game against Green Bay, whole family there. They got the whole spread of Italian food out there, the bread, the chicken cutlets. They got the Tommy Cutlets t-shirts. There was a Tommy DeVito pin, right? The Italian flag hanging from cars in front. So it was fun. It was a fun scene. It's a fun story. But let's be fair about this. This wouldn't be a story, and none of this would be relevant if Tommy DeVito wasn't playing well, wasn't doing his part on the field. Okay, so he started four games now. 7 touchdowns, 1 interception, right? 2 turnovers in 4 starts. That's really darn good. Giants, 3 wins in his 4 starts. That's really darn good. Now, that's the question everybody keeps asking me. What does it mean, right? Are they going to draft a quarterback? What are they going to do a quarterback next year? Where does Tommy DeVito kind of fit into that mix? Now, he's checking off boxes. Now, I'm not saying Tommy DeVito is going to be the starter next year. I'd be surprised if he was. But there's still 4 games left in the season, so it's hard to really answer that right now. What we saw on Monday night, 24-22 win over the Green Bay Packers. We'll talk about the Giants' playoff chances. I put in air quotes too as I'm saying this, if you could see me right now. We'll get to that in a second. But what he did do was, okay, so the Giants give up a score. Green Bay takes a 1-point lead with about, off the top of my head, it was about a minute and a half left. And the Giants fly down the field with DeVito, 4 straight completions, right? 3 simple underneath ones. One was a blown coverage. It seemed like Darius Slayton just made it look easy. And then Wandale Robinson, who had a great game, best game of his young career, cooked his guy. DeVito hit him, turned into a big play. Giants are in field goal range. Easy chip shot field goal. Boom, boom. Randy Bullock hits it. 37-yarder. Giants win. And you come out of that game, and now the Tommy DeVito hype, because we've already heard it, because here locally, he's the local kid, the whole story, living at home, everything about it, right? That's great. But now, that was on national TV. That was on Monday Night Football. Now it has taken on a life of its own. And when we talked to Tommy DeVito in the locker room this week, it was something he almost wanted to step away from. I was like, okay, enough of this already. He even passed a comment at one point like, yeah, you all know, I live at home. We all know that story already. He didn't want to play into any of this, what is he doing for his future? He hit the cliche button big time. Now, he did say one thing. He said, I still want to show my personality. I still want to be me. But at the same time, he seemed to be getting tired. And this is my gist of talking to people over the whole Italian stereotypes that come with it. Now, it's hard to say that because, his parents and his agent, they're that's who they are, and that's who they're playing into it. Like, and they're plastered on TV. His agent, Sean Stellato, the dude with the hat. I'm sure you saw it during the game. He was the one, him and his dad and his brother, Tommy, were the ones kissing each other on the cheek. And people are saying, is that really his agent? That guy dressed like that? Is that staged? Is he doing it for show? No, that's who he is. Sean Stellato, Italian guy from the Boston area, has been in the agent game for a while. Actually a former athlete. I know he doesn't necessarily look like it. He's a shorter guy, middle-aged, short Italian guy. But he was apparently a big-time running back in high school and played college at Marist and had a nice little career. So it's hard to just turn off the button, you know, to turn off the switch, which Tommy DeVito seemed to maybe want a little bit of the other day this week, when everything that's going on around you. And he's played into it too. He did the video with the Giants, with the Italian food. So you can't just be like, well, all of a sudden, hey, we got to turn this off. It's not really going to work that way. I mean, he's been a good sport about everything. I'm just sure he would like it to calm down, and he wants to concentrate on football and the football part of it. And that's the whole thing with Tommy DeVito, is this story is only has legs as long as it has and has gone as far as it has because he's performing on the field. He's playing well, which leads to the question, where does he sit now in the Giants' future? And Joe Shane said it the other week when he did his press conference. You know, they're going to need to add a quarterback this offseason because Tyrod Taylor's a free agent. Daniel Jones is coming back from injury. They're not sure when he's going to be back, although I seem to think there's little doubt in my mind Daniel Jones will be back by the middle of the summer. You know, the way, unless he has some sort of major setback, I totally expect Daniel Jones actually to be back by the start of training camp, is something he said recently also. Because, like, 8-9 months. I mean, you could do all your quarterback stuff. He just won't be in live drills, which for a quarterback isn't that big a deal. You can still do a lot of work. The live drills part of it, like, they don't get touched anyway. They don't really run very often. So, but you can't go into the season. And this is, I've said this before. The problem with Daniel Jones is he's now a huge injury risk. Even if you think he's the stud quarterback, which that's up for debate too. I mean, clearly he's not a superstar. He's not a top five quarterback you're slam dunk building around. So he's already got questions about the playing side, but forget about that for a second. He now has two neck injuries and is coming off a torn ACL. So clearly you need a proven backup. So now Tommy DeVito, yes, we've seen some good things from him, but to have Daniel Jones and Tommy DeVito, you can't go into the season like that. That's a bad plan. So either you got to draft somebody or you had to sign a veteran free agent. Now, we know the Giants can basically get out of Daniel Jones's contract after next year. DeVito is signed for another year. Then there's ways to keep him for another year after that. Right? There's tenders you can use. So he could be around for a little while on the cheap, which is a good thing. You'd love that. You'd love for him to be the backup. I think he's earned the right to compete for the backup spot right now. Can he be more than that, is what people are going to ask? Let's see. If he blows up in the next four games, the last four games of the season, if he plays really well down the stretch, if he shows has a good game against the Eagles on the road Christmas, clearly we're entering a different stratosphere. Here's the scenarios. Okay, this is probably unlikely, this first one. The first one is he's just so good down the stretch, keeps it up, final four games, thrown for 250 yards a game, two or three touchdowns, isn't turning the ball over, has a win against Philadelphia, leads the Giants to the playoffs. At that point, he's competing for the starting job, okay? I'm not sure if that's realistic, but you never know. Who knows at this point? The other thing is, he kind of continues to play as he does, loses a couple games, has a bad game here or there. The Giants, remember, their defense is really driving this. Defense has 11 turnovers. The team has 12 turnovers total in the three wins. You're not going to lose many games when you're creating 12 turnovers in three games. You're just not. So let's say he kind of continues to go on this pace. They go 2-2. My opinion, at that point, Tommy DeVito gets an opportunity to compete, but most likely for the backup spot. Okay. Scenario three is, all right, a little dose of reality. He struggles. Now what? Okay. Now at least you have a third quarterback on the roster at a reasonable price. You know, you could trust him a little bit. He could go in there and do some things in games. Okay. If he happens to come in, play really well in the summer, he could still win the backup job. So those are the most likely scenarios. Now, since him being the starter still seems like a long shot, the draft is a spot where the Giants could potentially still get a quarterback. Remember, Joe Shane said he was studying the top quarterbacks in the 2018 draft. Okay? He's not studying the top quarterbacks in the 2018 draft for just for fun. Because they're contemplating taking a quarterback here. Now they're probably out of the running for the top two pick right now. They are out of the running base. The top two pick is, that's a dream now. That's gone. That's over. What's realistic is top 5 to 7. So can they draft a quarterback in that spot? Absolutely. Could end up, in my opinion, they'll win another one or two games. They'll finish about 8th, 9th pick, something like that. So in that scenario, to me, the most likely solution for the Giants is you pick a quarterback. Okay, you trade back into the back end of the first round, early second round. You get like Bo Nix. I don't know where Michael Penix is going to go, but those kind of guys. I'm sort of getting the idea that Jaden Daniels is going to go high. So the 1-2 are going to be Caleb Williams, Drake May. And then Jaden Daniels seems like he's the most likely to come in third here when all is said and done. And he'll be like a top 5-7 pick. Now, maybe if the Giants stumble down the stretch here, if they lose out, they're in that running. But I do think they'll win another game or two. So, Tommy DeVito, if they draft a guy in the back end of the first round, early second round, even third round, Tommy DeVito is going to factor into this mix. There's basically going to be Daniel Jones coming off injury with that question mark. Tommy DeVito, undrafted guy, showed something, still has more to prove. And then a rookie thrown into one little pot, and let's see how what comes out of that. So that's where I see that quarterback situation going right now. The thing with the Giants in the playoffs, okay, real quick, they're going to be underdogs in all four of these final games. Yes, they can win, I believe. They have a chance to win the Saints game. Still underdog. They have a chance to win the Rams game, sure, but still underdog. And then two Eagles games, obviously big underdog, especially on the road in Philadelphia on Christmas. And remember, this isn't now the Eagles cruising, coasting. We don't need to play anybody. No, no, no. The Eagles are in legit division race with the Dallas Cowboys, likely going to need every win possible. That makes it much harder for the Giants to pull out a win over the Eagles, who, by the way, remember, same Eagles team that absolutely smashed them in the playoffs. Smashed. Crushed them. It looked like the Giants didn't even belong in the same field. They're not even in the same stratosphere. And from what we've seen with the Giants against the Cowboys this year, they haven't been in the same stratosphere as the Cowboys or really any of these really good teams either. Now, granted, that came early in the year. They were all beat up. Their offensive line, as I've been saying for weeks, is in the best shape it's been in all year. That helps Tommy DeVito. Darren Waller could potentially come back this week. That helps Tommy DeVito. Like, their team is in a better spot than they were earlier in the year. But they're also playing the lesser competition now. Now it gets a little bit harder, though. Let's see what Tommy DeVito has now as the competition keeps stepping up. But you know what? It's fun. And the story's fun. And it's great. And guess what? As long as Tommy DeVito keeps playing at the level he is right now, and the Giants keep winning, the story's going to grow and grow and grow. I know this is unlikely. Actually, it's not even that far off at this point. Could you imagine what the hype is going to be like if the Giants could just win this week in New Orleans? Christmas Day game. That next Monday, the 25th, 4:25, standalone game, Giants at Eagles. Tommy DeVito against the big, bad Eagles, who the Giants haven't been able to even hold their jocks in recent years. If Tommy DeVito can go in there, and at that point, the Giants playoff, you know, the playoff talk around this team is going to be picking up if they win in New Orleans. Because that game, if he could pull off some magic in Philadelphia, holy cow, you can't even imagine where this the legend of Tommy DeVito is going at that point. First, obviously, have to get through this New Orleans game to set up that monster stage against the Eagles. Wow. That would be some Christmas game. On to the next one.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, let's bring on Wandale Robinson after one of the best games of his professional career. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about it.
And what it feel like, I mean, to, you know, make those big catches, big plays in general, because actually one of them came on like a run play.
It was great. Just doing the things that I'm used to doing and feeling back to like myself and just feeling healthy and explosive. So
what makes you feel like yourself, right? Obviously, you tore your knee last year. You're coming back this year. Takes time. So how do you know? And what's different now than maybe earlier in the year?
Just no hesitation. There are times during the year, earlier on in the year, just not wanting to put my foot in the ground. You know, it's strong, but you know, just mentally, you're not all the way there sometimes, and you're just hesitant about it. But came back off the bye week and felt really, really strong about it. And just during the whole week of practice, being able to put my foot in the ground like I had more so before I was ever hurt. So
now moving forward, what do you kind of expect? You got four games left here. The playoffs are kind of sitting out there. Like I know you guys are aware of that. Dave just brought it up to you. What's the mindset? What's the approach? And how much do you look at that?
For me, it's just take care of everything that you can right now. And right now, one game at a time, and everything will take care of itself. So we continue to win one game at a time, and we should be right where we want to be. And don't look too far ahead and get uncomfortable with everything. So, yeah.
Explain that one play to us real quick, because a lot of people have been saying, did he throw it back shoulder? Did he underthrow it? Give me your breakdown. Oh, you're smirking here. So I don't know. What does that mean?
For me, it looked, from my point of view, it just looked like he was just trying to give me a chance with the back shoulder. I had the corner, it fell off on Isaiah, and he couldn't throw it all the way over the top, but I had the linebacker underneath. So linebacker had his head turned, and he just kind of gave me a chance, and I had to go up and get it.
You got a chance to know Tommy pretty well. We're standing here. His locker is actually kind of right across from me, even though he's like in the middle of the room. First of all, you've been to his house? Were you a part of that? We need to know, what's the house like, and what's this jacuzzi I hear about?
Jacuzzi is very, very nice, actually. Me, Jalen, Bryce, I say a couple of us went over there. Jacuzzi is very nice. House is really nice. So don't want to give people too much insight into what it looks like, but got a nice.
What did you think when you heard that he was living at home? Because it's rare for a guy in the NFL. It's got to be the perfect situation too, because a rookie, he was an undrafted guy. You know, he's not sure if he's going to be on the roster, and he happens to live super close. Like you couldn't do it. I mean, there's no teaming in Kentucky.
I understand it for sure. I mean, if I was an undrafted guy, and you don't always know exactly what's going to happen, and I understand it, save some money. And
so you guys didn't blink twice when you were hurt?
I mean, I was like, shoot, hey, I don't blame you. If I lived this close, I don't know if I would be living at home.
Just because you know how much that rent is.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's a Kentucky rent.
It's not Kentucky rent. So this is definitely a little bit different out here. So I understood it, and I can't complain. So save some money.
What have you learned about Tommy DeVito? What can you tell us maybe that people don't know about him? Why is he so relatable? Start with that.
I mean, he's just one of the dudes. I mean, he's just like everybody else. He's confident. He's not overly confident or cocky or anything like that. And he knows exactly what he wants to do. And he just goes out there and does his job. He gets mad whenever things aren't going right. And if he feels like it's on himself. And so you can tell that he just wants to be the best.
Now I gave you enough time to think about it. Tell me something we don't know. Question. That answer before is what we call a filibuster. You give a filibuster so you get time to think, and that's what I'm doing right here for you. I'm talking. I see your brain is working. Like the wheels are turning.
I mean, shoot, at this point, it's like y'all got everything. I don't know what there is out there. So, I mean, he's just a cool dude. He's funny. He got nicknames just about for everybody. He calls me Juan DZ. That's really the only person that calls me that. So, I guess that's.
Appreciate it, man. On to the next one.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Yes, it's time for your favorite part of this podcast. It's where I answer all your deepest, darkest, Giants questions in Giants After Dark. All right, let's rip through Twitter here. Start with NYG fan in CLT. Do the first 5 weeks of the season look any different to you now? Not really, because it's kind of the same team that we saw last year, right? And the thing is, what did we say about the Giants this year? They could be a better team, but with a worse record, and they still weren't as good as the good competition, right? Whenever they played those good teams early in the year, Seattle was in better shape. They were good. You're talking about San Francisco. You're talking about Dallas. The Bills, I know that was a close game, but you look at those games, and they were in bad shape, the Giants, and they need everything to be perfect to even compete with those teams, even compete with them. And even then, they might not be able to compete with those teams. So remember we said at the beginning of the season, it was totally possible the Giants could be a better team with a worse record. That's because they still aren't at that level, and we're seeing that now. You know, they're dominating mediocre to bad teams, or beating mediocre to bad teams. I shouldn't even say dominating because the last two games have been super close and down to the wire. And it's because of their defense and Wink Martindale and the way he's able to just basically shut down these bad/mediocre teams with the defense that he has here. And that's why it would be crazy in my mind to get rid of him. Big Blue 10 says, any chance the Giants would be the team to play in the Brazil game? I don't know. The Giants, remember, they did play overseas last year. So if it's somewhat of a rotation, they might not be at the top of the list unless the organization really wants to go. And I can't see the Giants really wanting to give up a home game if that's the way it would turn out. But let's be fair. I'm in for the free trip to Brazil. Bring it on. Yeah, I think the Giants should play in Brazil. Joe Judge, fun fact, was a big fan. He really wanted the Giants to go play in Germany. Remember, there was a Germany game this year. And you notice the team that actually went. I know he's not the ultimate decision maker there. But it's the New England Patriots. So I would have liked that trip too. Hey, I like to go visit new places. Never been to Germany. Never been to Brazil. Sign me up. The Chubby Dude at Paisan426 says, what do you think DeVito needs to show in his last four games to make the Giants rethink taking a quarterback in the draft? I think he needs to show that he's capable of carrying a team, basically, right? Because that's what you need from your starter. You need a guy who could essentially at times carry you, or at least give hope. So he needs at least that one huge game, and he'll need at least one huge win over the Eagles for them to rethink the quarterback situation. Like he's going to have to do a lot. Remember, and I don't think this is right. I think it's stupid, but these teams and decision makers, they
the undrafted thing is a big thing. Like, if he was a second-round pick or a first-round pick, he's likely to have a much bigger leash. They're likely to invest much more in him. The fact that he's not, he has to prove, he has to do more just to get the opportunity because he went undrafted. Jacob underscore 2709 says, how aggressive do you expect Joe Shane to be if one of the top two picks is up for a trade? Would he sacrifice future draft picks with Daniel Jones still under contract? I think he would, but remember, what is that price going to be? How crazy is it going to be? And I think what matters greatly in this is where the Giants end up. Making a move from 9 to 2 is big. That's going to cost you a shit ton. Whereas if you're making a move from 5 to 2, it's much more realistic. So I think if they're like 5 or 6, it could be realistic. If they're like 9, 8, 9, or 10, probably way less realistic. Ramble On says, how much influence do you get from ESPN to really go after the Italian thing? The answer to that, by the way, is none. Like, ESPN does not, that's not something that's ever mentioned. In fact, I try to be careful because it actually makes me a little bit uncomfortable, the Italian stereotyping that's going on around this story a little bit. So I try and stay away from it. As a matter of fact, like, if you go look, you'll even see me saying, writing it as the pinched finger celebration. Like, I'm trying not to even go too deep into the Italian stereotyping of that, celebration. They throw the fingers in the air. I don't generally like to use the terms paisan or Italiano or make gabagool jokes or, you know, anything along those lines. I'm really tried hard to stay away from it. So the answer to your question ultimately is none. Let's see. Dynasty Doggo once said, did Shane screw up paying Jones $160 million? Answer, yes. DJ is a bad QB. New York Giants are stuck with DJ for at least 2 years. No team is going to take his contract. He's a backup at best. DeVito has shown more promise in his few games than DJ, but DeVito is the future either. I think he's saying that. He doesn't think. Let's be fair. Come on. Talk about, you know, recency bias. Daniel Jones played well last year. He doesn't stink. He's not a bad QB. He's not a backup. Okay. And then if you want to compare DeVito to Daniel Jones, which I see a lot of people doing, it's kind of crazy. You have to give it context. The offensive line and what Daniel Jones was playing with early this season, remember, no Saquon either, like, was significantly worse and against much better competition. Now, Tommy DeVito is playing with Saquon with a much better offensive line to the point of basically four of the five offensive linemen that the Giants have now weren't playing or on the team when Daniel Jones started most of his games, right? Andrew Thomas was hurt. Justin Pugh was on the couch. John Michael Schmitz was injured. Ben Bredesen, who's playing guard now, that's where he needs to play. It was playing center at the time where he was not very good, let's be fair. And Tyree Phillips wasn't on the roster. So four of the five guys weren't on the roster, and the other guy was playing a different position. The Giants' offensive line was a mess earlier in the year. They're playing Azudu, McKeithen, Bredesen at center. I mean, Evan Neal, who's been pretty bad. I mean, come on. You got to give it some context. And I'm not taking anything away from DeVito, because what he's done so far and from what everyone, the expectations were, it's been awesome. But Daniel Jones isn't a scrub. Let's not recreate history here. Last question. We'll end it with this one. Stavisi 17 says, what's your thoughts on Banks's first season? I think you feel good about Deontay Banks. I think you feel like there's promise there. Like, is he a number one cornerback now? Now, absolutely not. He's had his ups and downs. He's gotten beat, but he's also made a lot of plays. And I like that about him. It's actually his ball skills. He has two interceptions. Like, if you go look up Adoree Jackson has something like, three or four interceptions in his entire career. So Deontay Banks has that in him, has a pair of interceptions, just a lot of passes knocked down. I think there's potential for him to be a number one cornerback. I mean, I'm not going to lock it up, write it down, and book it, but I've seen enough to know that I feel good that Deontay Banks is going to be a quality player in this league. He's going to be a quality cornerback. Am I going to feel great next year knowing he's probably their number one cornerback and going to have to face all the number one receivers for other teams. I don't know if I feel great about that, but I do think he could grow into that role. I think he could end up being fine in that role. I just can't go into next season feeling super confident about that. I do feel super confident he's a quality NFL cornerback, that he will at least be a number two cornerback. You hope he could grow into the number one spot, but I'm not there yet. Not there yet. All right, that's it for the Giants After Dark segment. On to the next one. All right, this is a DeVito episode, so we got to end it here with a Jordan on a beat about the DeVito tailgate. Jordan on a beat is a portion of this podcast where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And so Monday night, you know, it's a big game. The DeVitos are having a huge tailgate. They invite me out. Actually, his agent, Sean Stellato, invited me out. I guess the same guy who became internet sensation later in the evening. But he invites me out. I see his outfit, by the way. And I'm like, oh, look at this. He brought the A-game. And he told me this week he might even have something wilder and crazier for the Saints game. So if he does make it out there and he brings that, I am all in on seeing what that outfit looks like. If he's telling me he's got something wilder and crazier that people make people go nuts. But you go to the DeVito tailgate, and obviously there's a significant spread going on there. A great spread. And the highlight, of course, is the chicken cutlet sandwich, because that's Tommy. You know, he said that. That was part of the original quote that started this whole craze, you know, about living at home, and he's got his mom, he's got the chicken cutlets there, everything. So the chicken cutlets thing obviously led to the Tommy Cutlets nickname, and when you have a DeVito tailgate, they got to have the cutlets there. So they make me a cutlet sandwich. I'm all suited up, and I'm trying to eat this thing. There's mozzarella hanging out the sides, out the top, balsamic vinegar all over the place, the beautiful calandra bread, and I have it. They just hand it to me in my hands. No plate, no napkins. I'm trying to, okay, I got to eat this thing on camera. I shove my face. There's like a piece of mozzarella hanging off the side. I'm trying to not get the balsamic and all over me and make a mess. And I'm scarfing down this chicken cutlet sandwich. Delicious, by the way. Delicious chicken cutlet sandwich. And that's the thing about chicken cutlets. And I think Tommy said this before. So you could just, you know, pick a chicken cutlet. It doesn't even need to be smoking hot. This was kind of like lukewarm at this time, maybe even cold. But you can still eat that cold, medium, lukewarm chicken cutlet and still taste delicious. And it did. I had like a rice ball or an arancini or whatever it was also. Delicious. So these are the kind of things you got to do for the camera. I'm sitting there shoving that sandwich. Imagine that. And I'm talking about an overflowing sandwich on about a, 8-inch roll with the mozzarella about like, I don't know, imagine like, you know, 8 island-type pieces of fresh mozzarella, 2 or 3 chicken cutlets, maybe 2 chicken cutlets cut in half into 4s, I think it was, and just shoving that in your face on camera. It's out there somewhere. I got to find that clip. The video of me stuffing my face with a chicken cutlet sandwich at the DeVito tailgate. It's tough. I know. It's tough living. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. And that's why I'm here for you. That's why Breaking Blue is here for you. I'm Jordan Ronan. You're listening to Big Blue, Breaking Big Blue. Like, subscribe, tell your friends. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.